Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you. We are going to get into the Word tonight, and we just are starting a series. What does the Bible say about purpose is what we're talking about tonight. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down. What does the Bible say about purpose? If you want a little subheading, you could even say, what was I made for? What was I made for? I find the topic of purpose interesting. It has got to be one of the most convoluted, confusing, and complicated topics we talk about. Purpose, because sometimes we attach it to a career, sometimes we attach it to a relationship, sometimes we attach it to a location, sometimes we even attach purpose to our own skills, gifts, and abilities. And all of those things are subject to change. So purpose for many of us is something we are either chasing, trying to find, trying to get to, trying to arrive at. For many of us, it is something we are wrestling with. Some of us feel like we are past purpose, like purpose was back there when I had that job and now I don't really know what I'm doing. And some of us don't know our purpose. Some of us don't feel like we have purpose. And so we're going to get into the Word and we're going to look at Acts 17. Acts 17. And Paul, the guy that we're looking at, he goes to Athens. And I'm basically Greek because I married a Greek. So he goes to my old hometown, sort of, kind of, not really. But he goes to Athens and he looks and he finds that there are like idols and statues everywhere. In fact, one of the idols says to an unknown god, he's like, whoa, this place is crazy, but this place was the intellectual capital. Like, these are smart people. They're the thinkers. They love philosophy. They love it. They love the ideas. They're a smart group of people. They're building some amazing structures. Like, these people are achieving, they're succeeding, but they're also searching for meaning. And so they don't just settle at one god, but they have many different gods. And one doesn't cut it, so then they create another one, and then they worship that, and maybe that will give them meaning. And so, you know, these Greek people, they're just asking the lighthearted questions of like, hey, how are you? What's the meaning of it all? You know, just the lighthearted stuff that we think of. It's actually, you know, when you're a kid and you're looking out a rainy window and like things get real deep. When you're looking out that rainy window, you're like, wow, what is the meaning of life? These are the Greeks we're encountering tonight. And Paul is talking to these people, searching for meaning. And in this time, they had schools of philosophy. And you and I hear philosophy, we think fluffy thinking. We think, okay, philosophy, right? But schools of philosophy in ancient Greece weren't just, you didn't just attend a class and then go away. You gave yourself to a way of life. And these schools were really exclusive. In fact, some schools only allowed just the young men to go. So schools of philosophy were something you gave yourself to, something you followed, something that told you your purpose. And so these are the people Paul is speaking to, and he's speaking to them not in a church, but in the marketplace. And this is what he said. So Acts 17, we'll go through it together. Acts 17, verse 18, it says, he also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, what's this babbler trying to say? With these strange ideas that he picked up, others said, he seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. Then they took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. You are saying some rather strange things and we want to know what it's all about. It should It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. I just love that little note that they had to write there. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. He said, "Men of Athens, or people of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand where they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries." In another version, it says, he made them to inhabit the earth. And, you know, even if you would go back to Genesis 1 and you would look at the garden wasn't supposed to be a place of exclusivity where the blessing and the love of God would be confined to a space. But as they would receive it, that they would cultivate it, they would inhabit, they would go forth, they would occupy. So the Garden of Eden was supposed to actually go forth. And so he says they were called to inhabit. From one man, he created all the nations. And then down to 27, he says, "His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Why don't we pray before we go any further? Thank you, God, for your word, living and active. And I just pray in this area tonight when we discuss purpose that you would just bring freedom to this area, that you would bring life where there has been tension and confusion and complication, but your simple truth, God, tonight would bring freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a confession to make. Just don't judge me, okay? Just spare me. Spare me the judgment. Just go easy on me. Just take it easy, guys. I am not a dog person. I'm not a dog person. Okay, I don't hate dogs. I'm not a dog hater, guys. If I was to see your dog walking on the street, I probably just wouldn't pat it. Okay, I wanted a dog growing up. My parents made me research about them instead. So I learned the top 10 dangerous dogs. I learned the top 10 dumbest dogs. I learned the top 10 smartest dogs. I learned all about dogs. I just didn't have a dog. In fact, the only dog in my life was my neighbor's dog. It was a German Shepherd. And when we'd get the ball over his house, I would knock on the door of my neighbor. He would take me to the side gate and make me shake the hand of his German Shepherd before giving me my ball back. So I'm just had a weird experience with dogs, you know. I also think if they're not big, if they're big, they got to be beautiful and protective. And if they're small, they got to be cute. And if they're small and they're not cute, I don't know. Maybe you own a rat. Maybe it's not a dog. I don't know. But my friend says to me, "Hey, I'm going away. Can you look after my dog?" And I say, "Yeah, absolutely. I'm the dog whisperer. I got you, girl." So I'm looking after her dog, and the neighbor was helping me to begin because he was also going away. And he says, "To buy this particular food." And I'm like, "No worries. It's this canned food." I'm like, "Yes." I go straight to Woolies. I buy this food. This dog, you know, we're building a bond here. I would walk it and do all the dog owner stuff with the poop picking up. And yeah, love it. So yeah, woohoo. And I get it this special food. I'm excited. I'm like, this dog is going to love its treat. I have a treat for you today. I give the dog this can of food. And he is loving it. He is going crazy for this canned food. He then starts running around. He's jumping. He's singing. He's dancing. You never seen a dog dance like this one. He was dancing. And then I'm like, wow, he loves it so much. I want to give him more. I don't know how much a little dog is supposed to eat. Just saying, I don't know. They don't tell me these things. And so I give it more. And he's like, oh, yes, more. And he's eating this food. And he's jumping and he's dancing and he's singing a new tune. And I'm like, you know what? You can finish the can. So I'll give the whole can to this dog. And he's running around and he's singing and he's dancing. And then all of a sudden, he just stops. And I'm like, what's going on, buddy? And he just stops. And he starts, all the contents in which he consumed start pouring out. And I'm like, oh no, this is not good. Did I kill the dog? I don't know if this is normal. He just starts vomiting up everything he's eaten. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know who to call. I'm not gonna tell them this happened. You know, I'm freaking out. And then in just a moment, he's running around again. I'm like, okay, amen. Hallelujah, thank the Lord, he's good to go. And then he does something I've never seen before and he starts eating the contents which he consumed and then poured out again. And I'm like, what is he doing? He's now eating his vomit again. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know if this is good. Now I'm just confused. I kid you not, he just does this again and again. He's like happy one moment, tag is wagging. His tail is wagging. Anyway, his tail is wagging. And then next thing, he's eating his vomit again. And then he goes happy again. And then he's eating his vomit again. And I'm just, I don't know what to do. And it's amazing because I'm looking at these Greek people and they go from one thing to the next thing, and what they consume one moment isn't enough, so then they end up feeling empty and they've got not enough, so then they go back to the thing again and then they end up feeling empty again, and so they're in this cycle of one thing is not enough, so they got to keep going and they got to keep going, and if maybe I can just consume a particular type of thing, or maybe if I can just have that career, or maybe if I can just have that relationship, then I'll be satisfied. But each time they end up feeling empty. They end up feeling empty. And so Paul's talking to these philosophers, these big thinkers, and the Epicurean philosopher, they believe in the pursuit of pleasure. Not like just what makes them feel good. The pursuit of pleasure for them meant they were looking for tranquility and the absence of pain. So if there was pain in their life, they're freaking out. They're like, wow, things are wrong. It's not what the Bible says, because the Bible isn't about the absence of pain, but actually the power and the strength to endure. And so this philosophy leaves them feeling empty. And then the Stoic philosophy, they believe that God is everywhere and in everything, and that there's no God above them or beneath them, but they are the God themselves. And the Stoic philosophers believe in living a good and virtuous life. You ever heard this one? I'm just going to be a good person. I'm just going to live a virtuous life. That's my goal. I'm just a good person. And I remember as a year 7 student asking this question, not from a place of sadness, simply from a place of curiosity. What does it matter? What's the point of living a good and virtuous life if there's nothing more? What does it matter if you're good or bad if there's nothing more than this? Well, what's the point? And you see, this philosophy too will leave you feeling empty. And then if we will look at the landscape of our day, you may have heard of a different kind of pursuit, the pursuit of happiness. Have you heard of this one, the pursuit of happiness? And we tell each other, just do what makes you happy. Your purpose is wrapped up in what makes you feel good and what makes you happy. But I've looked at the other side of that statement. And I've seen marriages torn apart on that statement. And I've seen broken relationships. And I've seen confused people. And I've seen a whole lot of brokenness and pain on the back of that statement. Because what might make you happy actually cause destruction everywhere else. And it may make you happy for a moment, but will leave you feeling so empty the next. So doing what makes you feel good, well, that's not going to cut it either. That makes me feel empty. And regardless of the philosophy or thing you believe about life and purpose, when we look at it outside of God, each and everything leaves us feeling empty. But the fact that these people are searching reveals there's more. The fact that people care, the fact that people are searching for meaning, searching for purpose, searching for more is because God has put eternity in the hearts of men. And in us, there is a cry for more. In us, there is this cry to know our Creator. In us is this cry to understand what we were made for. What was I made for? And so Paul begins to speak to these people and he begins to tell them about a God that they may not know. Because the God that he's telling about isn't one they create with their hands. You see, everything they were worshiping was something they create with their hands. And you go, oh, we don't do that. Oh, but we do. We worship our achievements. We worship our abilities. We worship our gifts and our skills. We worship so many different things, and they may not look the same as ancient Greece, but we still have things we worship. We still have things we worship. And he begins to speak to them. He tells them about the God who is the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth. As in, he is not made from your hands. He is above you. He is your creator. He is the one who intricately designed you, who gave you purpose, who wants relationship with you. He's the one that thinks about you. He's the one that made you. The creator of heaven and earth is, he's not on our level. His thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. He's so far above us, and he is the source of life. He is the source of life. He's the reason you have breath in your lungs. He's the reason you're sitting here today. He is our source of life. And to try and find purpose without relationship with Jesus, we will always miss it. You see, purpose isn't something we do. Purpose, first and foremost, is actually the one we know. Our purpose is all wrapped up in relationship with Jesus. We were designed for community. We were designed for relationship. We were designed to know our Creator. It's like trying to put a flat pack together without an instruction manual. We're trying to know who we are without going to the one who made us. But He is our source of life. He is the one our identity is wrapped up in. And it's different because if you don't have that, you will move to try and find that. You will move to try and validate your existence on this world. You'll move to try and prove yourself, prove why you're worth it, prove why you matter. But you don't have to do that if you go to the source, the bringer of life, the giver of life. His name is Jesus, and he is the one that gives you and I life. And so looking for life outside of him will leave you feeling empty. But he is our bringer of life, and with that comes his joy, and with that comes his peace, and with that comes his presence. Our purpose is to know our Creator. Our purpose is to have relationship with our God. We have to know who we are before we move. He says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. But you have to know who you are. And if I was to ask you tonight, who are you? Would you attach it to your career? Would you attach it to your family? Would you attach it to where you grew up? Or would you attach it to knowing your Creator? How do you answer that question? And if you answer it in any way that is subject to change, then I want to introduce you to Jesus tonight, the creator of heaven and earth, because he is not far from you. It says those who search for him would realize he's not that far. You see, he's not just a philosophy. He's not just an idea or a concept that's distant. He is a person that you can know and know intimately. So our purpose isn't a thing or to do something or to achieve something or to strive in a certain way. Our purpose is first and foremost to know him. And then in knowing him, we can move. In 1 Peter 2:19, it says, we are a holy nation. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, so we may. We are, and so we may. We are, and so we may. It says, we are these things, and so we may proclaim. We may proclaim his praises for the one who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is our God, the one who brought us out of darkness into his wondrous light. Before you move in God, you have to find your identity wrapped up in God. And as you move, you get to proclaim, you get to inhabit, you get to occupy, you get to reflect who he is. Wherever you are, whatever career you're in, whatever you're doing, whether you're in school or you're retired, you get to reflect and proclaim who he is. Because we move from a place of acceptance. We move from a place of love. We move from a place of already knowing him. If I can just get the keys up. But in this, our purpose with God is moving in step with him. Our purpose in God is moving in step with him, each step following him, so we may reflect him. You see, if each of us have the desire for more and eternity is in the hearts of all men, then we get to show people the bringer of life. Then he's called us to inhabit. He's called us to bring kingdom wherever we are, whatever field we're in. And so wherever we go, our lives begin to paint a picture of our Creator. So that when people look at us, they see him. And it doesn't actually matter. Your skills, your abilities, these become the vehicles in which you do this. So it'll look different for everyone, but the function is the same. We're all called to still reflect and to proclaim his goodness, his greatness, his life. And from the source of life himself, we begin to bring life wherever we are. It was dark in Genesis 1, the earth was dark and formless, but then God said, let there be light, and he brought light into the world. And now we know the source of light, so we become sources of light ourselves. In dark places, bringing life. In confused places, bringing hope. In broken places, bringing the love of God. Wherever we are, bringing the love of God. Why? Because he's taken us from darkness into light. He's taken us from this idea, this confusing and convoluted and complicated idea of purpose, and given us meaning and given us purpose. My purpose is all wrapped up in knowing him. I find my purpose in knowing him, and then I begin to reflect him wherever I go. I begin to proclaim he is the one who brought me out of darkness into light. He is the one that gave me hope. He is the one that gave me peace. I remember driving home one night, and one day actually, it was New Year's Day in 2022, and I was driving home after a day at the beach. And I used to live out west, so it was an hour away. And I'm about halfway home, and COVID was a thing then. So mum says, you're not coming home until you get tested. I'm like, all right, I'm halfway home, so I have to go back. I have to get tested. I have to drive to my brother. I have to give him a test. I mean, it was supposed to be a 1 hour journey, and just time continues to add on. I just want to get there. I just want to arrive. That's all I care about. And I'm finally on my way home. I'm going to arrive. I'm going to get there. And as I'm driving a responsible, mature speed on the road, as I'm driving, my tire blows, like completely. Like I'm not talking like a slow deflation and, you know, had to pull off. So I'm like, this, there's no air in this thing. Like, I'm about rim to road, my tire's shredded. I look through my rear view, I see black tire just flying from my car. It begins to smoke. I'm freaking out. And so I finally pull over to the side, and I'm so shaken on the side of the road. I'm so shaken. I'm I'm scared. I'm disappointed. I'm deflated. I just wanted to get home. That's all I wanted. It was supposed to be a 1 hour journey, and here I am on the side of the road, shaken and disappointed. You know, so many of us feel like purpose. You're like, I'm just trying to get there. I'm just trying to find my purpose. Once I get into that career, once I make that transition, once I get there, then I'll be satisfied. But many of us in this room find ourselves on the side of the road, disappointed, because the way you thought life would go isn't the way it is now. I thought I would have been able to, you know, live the big dream I had for my life, and then this happened and this happened, and here I am. I'm just on the side and I'm shaken. And God, I'm confused. I thought my purpose was in the future, and I was just trying to get there. And how many of us, we actually get what we want sometime and we're still not satisfied? How many famous people do we need to see at the peak of their career mentally unfit? Why? Because you get there and there's still another thing, and there's another thing, and there's another thing, and there's another thing. You see, purpose isn't a destination you arrive at. It's never been a destination you arrive at. But you know, I called my dad, and my dad came. And it was too dangerous to change the tire where we were. So he parked the car behind me. I got out of my car shaken, disappointed, worried. And I sat in his car with him. And for the next hour or two, we were just waiting for the NRMA. And suddenly I didn't care where I was going. The only thing I cared about was who I was with. Suddenly it didn't matter about the destination so much, it just mattered about the presence of whose I was in. It was just about being there with my father. It was just about talking and hanging out with my father, and suddenly the pressure of getting home, finally the pressure of trying to find my way or to grapple my way or to find my worth and value and make myself matter, suddenly that stopped worrying when I just sat and spent time with my father. So it is with us. Purpose, not a destination to reach. He's a king you can know. And he sits with you, not at the place of arrival, but on the whole journey, he's with you. He's not waiting, saying, yeah, come on, I'm waiting, you're taking a while. No, he just meets you where you're at, in your disappointment. Maybe you're shaken today because life didn't go the way you planned. I mean, when does it really? Whatever it is, in your disappointment, he meets you there. In your brokenness, he meets you there. And in that place, whew, there it is. It's the love of God. He meets you. And suddenly, it's like we walk tense. Like our muscles are even tense with this pressure of purpose. I don't know if I'm in the right place. Wait until I get to the next thing. And we're looking at the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. But what if we just stopped and realized maybe we're right where we need to be, and that's on the journey with Jesus? Maybe even in the in-between, there's purpose there. There's purpose when we don't see there's purpose. There's purpose in your family, in those dark places. Why? Because you know the source of life and get to bring life wherever you are. So you're going, but God, it's dark. But God, it's disappointing. But God, it's a hopeless place. Yeah, but you've been placed there for a reason. You've been placed there to be the bringer of life. You've been placed there to be the bringer of hope. So you're placed there on purpose. Come on, this isn't the Epicurean that we have to avoid pain and avoid. No, God didn't avoid the pain. God didn't avoid the hurting. He went in and he found us. And so whatever your situation looks like, do you know there's purpose in it now? It's not waiting. In fact, what you'll find is, regardless what career, what job, or what you do, you'll find the people matter most. My husband works in corporate every day. He comes home and he tells me not so much about the products they're releasing and all these things. He tells me about the people in his workplace. Why? Because his heart, he's been so stirred for what God is doing, and he begins to believe over these people, that light would reach them too. You see, his purpose isn't a career, was to bring light wherever you are. And so it is with us. Wherever we are, there's purpose. In the in-between, there's purpose. You know, for some people tonight, maybe you don't know God. Maybe you're searching. When I say that he's put eternity in the hearts of men, you find in yourself a longing for something more, a longing for something deeper. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than just living a good life. There's got to be more than this. And there is, because there is a King of Kings and there is a Lord of Lords who wants to know you. He's not far from you. He's close. He's not waiting for you. He's right there. And he's so close. And that longing you have for more, you will find satisfied in his arms. As a young person, that was the question I asked. Well, what's the point? And as I began to get into the scriptures, as I began to read his word, I found meaning. I found purpose. Why? Because I found my relationship with Jesus. Better yet, he found me. He found me. It changed my life. It gave me meaning. It gave me meaning as a school student. I cared. I cared about my school. I walked around caring about these people. Why? Because I knew even in that season, God had meaning. Even when I was doing jobs that were just to get through uni, I knew there was purpose in these things too. When I was in retail, when I was nannying, when I was a receptionist, it didn't matter where I was. I knew that God had purpose, and everywhere I went, my heart would be drawn to the people. My heart would be drawn to bring life. As a receptionist, I remember praying over all the desks before people came in. As a nanny, I remember, you know, talking to these kids about Jesus and letting their curiosity come in, and I got to talk to them about God. Even in retail, I remember talking with people coming in and being able to witness to the people I worked with. It didn't matter where I was, I knew there was purpose in that. Why? Because I had purpose in knowing my God. And so maybe tonight you don't know God. Maybe tonight your identity is wrapped up in your achievements or success, and you feel the stress and the pressure of trying to prove yourself, trying to find your way, just trying to find out who you are. Who you are is wrapped up in God. Who you are is wrapped up in a relationship with God. And I don't want to go any further without giving you the opportunity to know him and to know him personally. He is not far from you. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer together. And I'll get you to repeat after me. In fact, why don't you close your eyes, go all across this place and bow your heads. And it's just to help you say yes. It's just to help you. Why? Because in you is a longing for more. And I just want to introduce you to the more. His name is Jesus, and you can know him tonight. So why don't all across this place, why don't you just repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for meaning, for purpose, for your love. I thank you, you gave your life for me. I give my life to you tonight. Take all of me, all that I am, all that I have. I make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. And while all eyes are closed and all heads are still bowed, if you tonight, you felt the pull, you felt the longing, you felt the cry for more, and you were like, I do, I want more, I want to know this God you're talking about, I really want to know him. I don't want him to be a distant concept or idea in my world. I want to know God. And if that's you tonight and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you just show me a hand just quickly, just long enough so I can see, and then you can pop it right down. If there's anyone in this place going, yeah, yeah, I want more. I want to know this God that you talk about. I want the meaning you're talking about. I want to find my purpose all wrapped up in Jesus. If there's anyone in this place, why don't you just lift up your hand real quickly and then you can pop it right back down. Amazing. so good. I give a little bit longer just to anyone. And God's like tugging at your heart, saying, come on, now's your moment. Come on, now's your moment to be close to me. You've been far off from God, but tonight you can be close to him. You've been searching, but tonight you can be found by him. If there's anyone in this place, so good. Amazing. Well, I'm going to pray a prayer. Thank you, God. We just thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for the life you bring, for the peace you bring, for the joy you bring. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I just pray over this place, God, that the pressure of purpose would be taken off. Lord, as we look to you, as we do life with you, that we would just feel the tension and the pressure released in a moment. And so, Lord, we just give you our all tonight. And we come back to the simplicity of simply knowing you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.